Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Idea Park, a new media agency nurturing online relationships between you and your most valuable customers. Online at ideapark.com.
72 hours of supplies.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Brian Watt. Hurricane or not, Ernesto is headed for Florida. Non-residents should have left the Keys by now, and this will certainly take a toll on tourism. But Governor Jeb Bush advises stocking up 3 days' worth of provisions, so the lines are long for food and fuel. From WLRN in Miami, Marketplace's Dan Gretsch tallies the economic winners and losers.
Home Depot and Lowe's are obvious winners. Every storm season, they sell plywood, generators, and hurricane shutters to frantic homeowners. Grocery stores and gas stations also see a spike in sales. Meanwhile, businesses that cater to tourists suffer when they're in the path of a storm. Hotels can be especially hard hit. Robert Hartwig is with the Insurance Information Institute. He says hotels in Key West are emptying out.
On the other hand, inland hotels further away from the storm might be winners this time around as they actually see people trying to get away from the storm.
Economists have found that communities that get hit by a storm often see a surge in activity afterwards as people rebuild using insurance proceeds. In the past 2 years, insurance companies have injected $31 billion into Florida on hurricane claims alone. From Miami, I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
On the news that Ernesto would miss Gulf Coast refineries, oil prices fell a couple of bucks yesterday, and Wall Street breathed a sigh of relief. The Dow jumped 0.6% to 11,352. The Nasdaq was up 20 points, or nearly a percent, to 2160. The Standard & Poor 500 added 7 points, almost a half of a percent. Another take on the economy comes out today. The Census Bureau releases its annual report on wages, poverty, and health insurance. Helen Palmer tells us what to expect.
The economy's grown for the last 4 years, and so have poverty rates, says Dr. Stephen Wolfe of Virginia Commonwealth University. He analyzed Census Bureau data for the last 4 years.
Well, severe poverty grew by 20% between 2000 and 2004. Which amounts to about 3.6 million Americans.
Severely poor households earn $11,000 a year or less for a family of four. Wolf says a third of the very poor are children, who tend to be sicker and do worse at school than their peers.
Well, the poverty rate itself grew between 2000 and 2004 from 11.3% to 12.7%.
Many economists say they think the Census Bureau will announce little change in poverty and wage trends today. But they point out that only the wealthiest 10% are earning more in real terms. Income for the median American household was $1,700 less in 2005 than in 2000. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
Remember Robin Hood, who stole from the rich and gave to the poor? Well, the BBC was rich enough to make a $15 million series about him. But now the master tapes have been stolen. The thieves are reportedly asking nearly $2 million in ransom. No news on whether they'd give it to the poor. This is Marketplace. India wants airplanes. Boeing got a firm order for 10 yesterday, but India's on pace to buy 850 by the year 2026. But as Jason Parr reports, all those planes may not be needed.
Indian airlines are seeing double-digit growth in passenger demand fueled by the nation's surging economy. The result is numerous new domestic carriers springing up to cater to India's 250 million-strong middle class. But aviation analyst Richard Abalafia warns supply may be outpacing demand.
One problem with any growth market is that people love it so much they pile on in until it becomes overinflated. And you're certainly seeing that now in the India market. You've basically got 20% traffic growth, but 30% capacity growth. And one day there will be a day of reckoning.
Despite those concerns, Boeing expects India to buy nearly $73 billion in new airplanes over the next 20 years. I'm Jason Parr from Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft Dynamics, business solutions for CRM, supply chain, and financial management. Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Brian Watt. A year ago this morning, Hurricane Katrina barreled into the Gulf Coast. It was the costliest disaster in American history. Earlier this year, we met a brother and sister in Biloxi, Mississippi. They lost their houses and most of what they owned to Katrina. But their stories since then are very different. From American Radio Works, Stephen Smith reports.
How y'all doing? Good. Oh, doing good, thanks.
Stanley Smith is proud of his almost-finished, brand-new house. Katrina destroyed his old place, a one-story home in a poor part of Biloxi. Stanley's still on the same lot, but now his master bedroom is up on the second floor, well above flood level.
This is where I'll be conducting my sleep. From now on, hopefully.
Stanley lost his job to Katrina, so he spent the last year in steadfast pursuit of federal grants and loans, of insurance adjusters, and FEMA inspectors. The result, a two-bedroom cottage with a steel roof.
I'm going to end up in a house, I would say, 200 times better than when I was in. Yeah, much nicer house.
Stanley did not have flood insurance. He didn't get much money from his regular homeowner's policy either. But he had other things going for him. The mortgage was nearly paid off, Stanley's credit was good, and he spent 16 years in the military. He knew how to work the bureaucracy. He ended up with a $144,000 disaster relief loan, and the new house should be finished any day now. A few streets away, summer cicadas buzz in the trees near Ethel Curry's house. She's Stanley's older sister, but her situation is profoundly different. Ethel is 60 years old. She was alone when Katrina flooded her house to the ceiling. Ethel can't swim. She survived by climbing in a refrigerator, floating on its back with the door splayed open. And now it's hurricane season again.
It's scary because I have, like, flashbacks. It's real scary.
Living in a flimsy FEMA trailer in the yard is no comfort. Ethel inherited her hardscrabble home from her parents. All that's left now are the exterior walls and the studs inside. No roof, no flooring, no sheetrock. Unlike her brother, Ethel couldn't get a relief loan, and she doesn't have the same know-how for navigating the relief bureaucracy. She's hoping that volunteer groups will do the work, but a year after the flood, she can't seem to get a start.
Habitat for Humanity came out. Right now, they don't have people to do the roof. They say I could go to the Salvation Army, but the Salvation Army was only helping you with sheetrock and stuff, but I can't get sheetrock, and I don't have a roof on the house.
There's a federally funded grant program to help Mississippi homeowners rebuild. It offers up to $150,000. But because she didn't have insurance, Ethel didn't qualify. Katrina relief programs have been faulted for favoring middle and upper income storm survivors instead of more vulnerable people. As one report puts it, recovery takes longer for those who had less to start with. In Biloxi, Mississippi, I'm Stephen Smith for Marketplace.
The Marketplace American Radio Works documentary, Rebuilding Biloxi 1 Year After Katrina, is on our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Brian Watt. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
A year ago today, New Orleans.